Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Boo Kool-Aid drinkers. We are back recording this the night, 8 o'clock, so a few hours after the Lions heartbreaker loss in overtime, 37-31 at the hands of the Seahawks again. A very similar game to last year in a lot of ways, unfortunately. Not only was it the second game, but it was a lot of points. We're going to get into all that in a moment, but before we do, let's introduce who's here from the Blue Kool-Aid crew. So I'm Big Z, and then we got Rud Dog.
Yo.
Rud Dog, really quick, give me your 1 minute just instant reaction to this game.
1 minute instant reaction. Okay.
Yep. Well, now you have 58 seconds.
Yeah. It was a. Go ahead. You know, it was a tough game. Play between two good teams. I mean, I know like people want, I think we're better than the Seahawks, but the Seahawks are a tough team and they came ready to play and they made more plays than we did. The key plays, really, the turnovers is what really cost us that game. It was a tough
turnovers.
Game, a tough battle. I think the defense, I think a lot of people are crapping on the defense. I think they played a better game than people realized, but at the same time, there were some notably bad performances and plays, especially in the secondary. I'd say they struggled, but the pass rush as well. So it's anyway, but I still think overall they played a better game than people think. Even Dan Campbell said
any secondary I think is going to struggle when the quarterback has four seconds every play to throw the ball.
It was brutal. Like where did Hutchinson go today? Like in the
and
I thought
it wasn't
we were going
like
to face all these scrum tackles
every play.
No.
Yeah, and it wasn't like he was double teamed every play. I saw our D tackles too have like one-on-one opportunities. They were losing consistently. It's really
frustrating. They recorded zero stats. Our D tackles recorded zero stats.
I'm looking at the box score now.
Like no tackles, no pressures. No.
I'm still looking. God, you know who had brutal. Actually? You know who had more tackles than our D tackles? Sam Laporta and Amon-Ra St. Brown because they both turned it. There was two turnovers.
Two guys who I would say were tackle. Good. Oh my gosh.
Yes, and it was not good. The only sack was Anzalone, a key one near the end of the game.
That was key.
Alas,
yeah, he made a big play.
He did.
Granted, Gino kind of gifted us that a little bit. I mean, Gino should have got rid of that ball. But, you know, they still made the play. I mean, to be fair,
the turnovers.
I think that was like the cumulative sacks of the game that we couldn't get. They just came on one play. Because, like, I mean, we just seem to struggle every time we face these mobile quarterbacks. It almost turns their O-line, I feel like, into, like, invincible. Like we our D-line just struggles like against these mobile quarterbacks. Their pass rush sucks. Like even last game against Mahomes, like we didn't ever get home really. Like you know what I mean?
Had a better game in the first game than this
he
one.
Did he way better game, but still nonetheless like it's like they struggle to get off these blocks and get to the quarterback.
You think he was held at the end there?
Yeah, I think it was a hold. I mean, I guess there's some weird rule that if you are in like a rip move that gets you under the guy's arm, it's not like an immediate hold. It has to like then transition to a hold. Like that position isn't an automatic hold, but he held him. Like you see him, not only does he like kind of hold, grab him by the shoulder just a little bit, he's slick about it, he's quick, but then he literally takes his other hand and grabs Hutch's arm. Like grabs his literal forearm and yanks it. Like, that was a holding. That's, I mean, it was just a terrible non-call, but, like, to blame the game on that is silly. This game really came down to the turnovers and just, you know, some sloppy plays in here and there that just
Killer
caused
turnovers.
Us.
And turnovers in the second half. Another
and
pick
CJ.
Six at the.
Is he going to be a like? I like him, but like I'm like his attitude is like right on the edge for me. Like, is he a good influence on the way he like does things, or is he going to be toxic and start causing penalties that hurt us if he's not making plays? You know, like
not a smart one. And
that was a killer. It gave him a second shot at in the red zone. Like. Yeah.
Right. Made a really nice play and then had to do that.
So, like,
that was hugely disappointing.
I'm not like going to crap. I'm not totally out on him or anything, but I have that question lurking now because, like, he's all about making the spectacle. He's doing the hood thing and, like, the ski mask thing. And, like, it's cool.
I think that's done now.
It's cool while, you know, he's walking the walk. And if you don't, but I don't think that's done. I think he's got swag, and this team's got swag, and they know. I think this game was a gut check. I think they were riding a little high despite their best efforts on an opening win, and I don't know. It felt a little flatter. I think they, you know, I don't know. Even if it was just that little tiny degree of like we're good now, and you know whatever that just does into them mentally, well, I don't think they're thinking that anymore. I think that was a wake-up call, but nonetheless, we fought to stay in that game. We did some pretty great things to hang around. We probably should have got blown out in the end based on our like mistakes, those fumbles and stuff. Like, this game still came down to an overtime that we managed to force. So I mean,
yeah, and I mean, I want to get about that too. The Lions get the ball back, great field position, and then they kind of take their sweet time. They didn't want to give the ball back to Seattle, which is understandable, but they did not give themselves any room to really operate into a touchdown. They ran plays that kind of made it look like they were settling for a field goal and to get to overtime. I did not appreciate the lack of aggression at the end of the game. I thought that was a missed opportunity, especially when the offense is operating so well.
We were so over aggressive half the game too, like, or most of the game. Like, right. I think like Dan clearly wants to just go for it every single time. Like, I think that's his default. I don't think like Connor made a comment in our chat about him not trusting the defense when we went for it on fourth down, which I mean, I guess I see what he's saying, but to me, that's like you really trust your defense going for a fourth down inside your own territory because you're saying if we don't get this, our defense will step up. But, you know, it is what it is, and it's aggressive. It's super aggressive. But Dan's just a gut guy. He has an idea. He goes off of instincts, and I think sometimes it's going to be frustrating or seem frustrating because it's like you can knock the plays we don't get, but how many times has those fourth down conversions, like, kept us in games and turned into points? So it's sort of like, you know, if you could say he gave up two field goals or gave up a field goal by going for it on fourth down, but like he also got a 7 by going for it on fourth down. So it's I like his aggression. I think he's going to keep fine-tuning it as the season goes on. I'm not overly worried about it. This was a tough game. It's one of those ones where every single play mattered and the other team just made more plays. And, you know, that's why it's like it sucks. But at the same time, as far as like our prospects for the season and things like that, I think this is just going to make this team work even harder. And I mean, some people are saying it exposed our roster holes, which I don't know about holes, but Jerry Jacobs, I think you kind of lent some credence to your point about him being an ideal number 3 instead of a 2. He had a rough game.
Not a good game for him. From the start of the game, they made a point of emphasis to attack where Jerry Jacobs is lined up.
I mean, if
field.
You look at our secondary, it's not even necessarily saying he's bad, but when you look at our secondary, he's clearly the weakest link. Like, who are you going to attack otherwise? Cam Sutton, Brian Branch, Kirby Joseph, or freaking, you know, number 2. It's just we got a lot of talent, and it's going to funnel things his way. He's got to step up and do a better job, though, or he's going to get replaced. And hopefully, you know, when Manuel Mosley gets back, he is an upgrade. Like, you think he's going to be in? I mean, I wouldn't surprise
me. I definitely think he will be.
It's the reason we signed him.
I absolutely think he's going to be an upgrade from what we have. This felt so much like last year. I mean, the pick six is killer. Of course, that ruins Goff's turnover streak, and it came at the worst time. You know, it could be like a bomb at the end of the first half.
I had like a premonition on that play. Like I felt it like in my gut suddenly that like it was over. It was like coming to an end. Like it just like felt like the series. Oh, it might have been contributed to by them talking about it so damn much on the broadcast.
They talked about it before the game started.
I swear they take pride in that shit. They take pride in bringing that up. They hope they're gonna bust it when they talk about it. Like, but
yeah. And it was a bad throw.
Well, actually, that happened. Dan Campbell,
he's starting to get a little uncomfortable.
Gibbs.
In the what's that?
Dan Campbell blamed it on Gibbs.
Oh, really?
On the route, he said it was supposed to be like probably like just a hitch right there, sit down, and Gibbs ran like a wheel or whatever. Or what's that? Like a wedge route, and he cut it deep instead of sitting down. Which I don't know. Goff took responsibility as you'd expect. And it doesn't really matter. It was just a miscommunication. Gibbs is still young. It's still early in the season. Things happen. But, yeah, it just sucked. Like, what a bad timing, too. Like,
right. And at that point in the game, our offensive line was getting a little shaky on pass blocking. They were getting a little bit more of a pass rush at that point in the game.
Yeah.
Because throughout most of the game, though, offensive line did a great job pass blocking.
It was sort of like last week. It was spotty. Like, they're having, like, dominant, like, series where they'll just erase, like, make it, like, where Goff is comfortable. And then all of a sudden, like, they'll just get like, kind of whooped. It's weird. And actually, Nelson played a pretty good game.
Yeah, the pass blocking's been great. The run blocking still leaves room to be desired.
So much.
We're averaging 3.8 yards per carry. Gibbs is averaging 2.4 yards a carry. So elite run blocking looks like what we saw out of the Eagles on Thursday Night Football. You're routinely getting 5 yards of push. The running back has more than enough room to operate. I mean, Swift had just... Everybody's like, oh, Swift is elite and things like that.
Swift looked good.
He looked good, but the reason he looked good is because he had holes the size of a semi-truck to run through.
Not everyone can utilize those holes like that. Like, he was making dudes miss in those holes. Yeah.
Don't you think Gibbs could put up similar numbers given the same opportunity?
I agree. It's like even the Seahawks were getting, like, I mean, we did a pretty good job against the run all game. Actually, overall, not all game. There were some play series where they just were like that, especially that kid out of Michigan State, was it, or Michigan, whatever.
Kenneth Walker?
Yeah, he broke.
Yeah, but I mean, he averaged 2.5 yards a carry.
Right, like I said,
there's a couple overall, in the red zone, it was a little better for them.
Well, early on, he had a few chunker gains on us where he just made dudes, he broke tackles and stuff. It looked pretty bad, but we locked down the run for the most part pretty good. But at the same time, I think some of that was because they kept finding what they needed through the air.
Right. Yeah. 32 of 41. Geno Smith was 328 yards, 2 touchdowns. The 1 sack at the end of the game that we mentioned with Anzalone where he ran backwards. That was helpful. But I mean, he had all day to throw. He could pick whoever he wanted to throw to, and they seemed to be open because that's what happens when you have 4 to 5 seconds to throw every play.
Yeah, so
in the NFL, these guys are going to get open eventually. It becomes an impossible job, no matter how good your secondary is.
Yeah, I don't know what happened to Hutch today. I thought he was going to have a better game. That was something.
Yeah, these are backup tackles, and one of which wasn't even on NFL roster till 4 days ago. And he's 42 years old.
I mean, I guess Jason Peters. Nelson had a similarly good game, though, and he's a backup tackle that. Honestly, I was really surprised. I thought we were going to move Big V out to tackle and put Glasgow at guard. But they trusted Nelson, and it seemed like their trust was well placed.
And Big V went down. I didn't see I haven't seen
he
injury.
Like that was scary. What happened? He like just wasn't moving. He was laying there.
I assumed it was his it's his knee that they said is hurt. So I'm not sure.
It was his knee? That was so weird because he was just laying there like he was dead. I was like, what is going on?
Yeah, other injuries in this game. Luckily, Joseph and CJ came back into this game.
Yeah.
I thought they were both going to be out. James Houston might be out for a while.
That's what Campbell said. It was the only one he gave an answer on.
Really bizarre, too, to see James Houston in coverage on the tight end down the sideline and on a wheel route.
Not that
probably
bizarre.
Not the best defensive alignment.
I think they...
Yeah, I mean, just not... I mean, that's a matchup any team's going to take advantage of. So I wasn't... I mean, they just caught him in the wrong... The line's on the wrong defense there.
Yeah. But,
well, do you think this is a bigger problem with Aaron Glenn? One of our Blue Kool-Aid drinkers, Connor... I don't know if he's emotional, but he's calling for Glenn's head.
I don't know about all that. Here's the thing. Like, what's Glenn going to do to make Aiden Hutchinson beat the third string tackle better? Like, you know what I mean? Like, the guy's got to win in the trenches, and we just didn't win in the trenches.
See, but I saw Hutch a lot standing up on the edge again.
He likes that. That was when he got better last year. He did that in college, too. He seemed to have, like, he likes to see the things develop. Like, I don't know what was with him today. Like, something about, but like, it also just seems clear the Seahawks have like our number for whatever reason. And I feel like this is not a game that's endemic of this team. Like, this is like, this team for some reason just comes in and they just have a way of, I don't know, getting in our heads or something. Like this was our revenge game and all that, but they still came out looking sort of flat, especially on defense. I don't know. Like, it just was weird. The whole game felt weird. It never felt like even our offense.
I mean,
well, once the fumble happened, everything kind of just cascaded from there.
I thought Seattle's pretty clever. They use a lot of play action, a lot of bootleg, naked bootleg to put a lot of men in protection to help with the a lot of chipping on the edge too. They did a lot of chipping on the edge.
That's
but
true.
That comes down to.
But why?
I just really wish we had a dominant D tackle. Lee McNeil has disappointed me in two games.
Yeah, he
far.
Is not impressed. Like, I was expecting big things, and I still am. I think, you know, whatever it is, it's still like, oh, it's a marathon. Like, who said that? Like, one of the guys said that. Like, this is early. This team is still learning. This is a new team from last year. Like, I hoped they had carried a little more polish into the season, but, you know, it's. That might have been overestimating because you still have new group dynamics, new players, and new positions. And, like, you just got to – these guys got to learn to really gel together. Like, last year, we saw what happens when this team gels. And, you know, we think we got way more talent now. And they just need to learn to gel. And right now, there's clearly a bunch of clunkiness in their works. They're not smooth operating. The offense showed more of it for most of the game. But at the same time, it seemed like we usually fell short because of our own sort of, we always seem to give up a big play on a pass rush or something. I think they put a lot of faith in all our skill players to block more than most teams do. Like, outright, like putting, you know, freaking Laporta on a D end, things like that. Like, you know, he's a good blocker, but those guys are way bigger and stronger, and the more they see the opportunity, the more likely they're going to get a win there. Same thing with, like, that was a weird play to put Gibbs. Like, I think they were like, they'll never expect Gibbs to block the linebacker in the hole. And that's because, yeah, that's why. Like, he just gave up, you know, he kind of got blown up. Like I'm all about Gibbs, but, like, you got to give the kid in a better situation than that. I think one day he'll know how to handle that better, but he was not ready for it. And, you know,
they definitely use Gibbs more effectively in this game. You can see where they're going with him. A lot more motion, a lot more cross, more whip routes, middle option routes.
He should have had a
big one. He did drop a key one.
Yeah,
he had a lot of room to run on that one, too.
That was rough. That sucked. That was killer. Killed the drive, pretty much. I mean, that's the thing. Like, you got young guys still playing key roles, and, like, so you got Laporta getting blown up to give up a big play, but at the same time, Laporta made some tremendous plays, both blocking and catching.
Catching, though, some just absolutely beastly catches.
I heard the most,
and you can see why they drafted him where they did.
I heard the most ridiculous take today. Like, someone only saw that play. And then, like, made the most ridiculous take. I think it was on Woodward Sports postgame show, and they talked about how, well, you know, we had Hockenson before, and he was good at blocking. So, like, Laporta, you know, he's not that as good as, like, we don't have that Hawk. I'm like, have you seen what Laporta's doing? Hawk was never planting dudes. Like, that wasn't happening. He was not, that was the thing we always
were supposed to be.
We were always frustrated by his bad blocking. Like, I was like, who is this guy? What is he saying? Like, yeah, that's just ignorant. Like, did you see later in the game he flattened the dude on the down in the red zone? I think it was on the touchdown run. But, like, he is way better in every way that I can see so far than Hawkinson was as a rookie, at the very least, if not.
Yeah, especially as a rookie.
But projecting to be all around better. he's getting beat some plays. Like, they're using these traps and stuff with him, and he's not always winning, but he is often winning, like, in impressive ways. And as he gets better and better at that, like, oh my God, he's going to be such a weapon.
Absolutely. And that catch he had over the middle on third down, that where it looked like it was an interception, he almost took it away, and had the also just the little bit of yak to get to the first down too, because that was probably like 3 yards short.
I mean, he showed why we drafted him in this game. Like, the yak was fantastic. Like, the one where he dragged the linebacker like 3 yards after the play sideways. Like, that was so sick. He looked every bit the stud we drafted him to be, and that's why this whole game, like, there were flashes from all the guys that we want, I feel like, to stand out, like, our, especially his rookie class. Branch made some plays. Jack Campbell was a little more invisible in this game. I didn't notice him a whole lot. UJ wanted me to bring up why wasn't he in on coverage plays when Barnes was out there getting toasted, which I'm not sure is accurate.
Rodrigo was too. Rodrigo was often getting toasted.
Mm.
I can at least think of four off the top of my head immediately.
Yeah.
Especially from the tight end. The tight ends were, again, it's so tough when you don't have a pass rush. That's why every elite defense, you don't think of an elite defense and not think they have an elite pass rush. It usually starts there.
Yeah. And like, that was the whole thing. We carried nine guys to be that, right? Like, though I will say, does this get Bugs a chance next week? Like, what the fuck? Someone
or Broderick Martin? They're both inactive.
This should get someone a chance, because that was, I mean, again, it wasn't a terrible performance all around. Like, they did at least hold up pretty stout in the run game, though. Again, that's skewed a bit by how successful the pass game was. But, like, yeah, I think you need someone who's going to try to go in there and shake things up the middle. We need a pass rush. I mean, we need a pass rush. Like, that was the thing. You have to beat their formation. You have to get someone who can get off their blocks. And, like, that's the only way to beat that extra protection like that. You got to collapse it. Someone has to get in there. And no one did. Like, nobody. And Houston was out early, which was a bummer, because I was hoping they were going to use him more, and it looked like they were ready to. And then he's hurt. And it's like, damn. But because he's the
Charles Harris too. We haven't heard much from him in two games thus far.
Yeah, just that holding penalty he drew last week, was pretty clutch, to be fair.
It was. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, no, like, that whole D line was quiet today. I didn't see anyone look impressive.
Hopefully, it's a wake up call for them going forward.
I'm sure it will be. Like, that's the thing. Sometimes it
doesn't get easier next
week.
Atlanta is 2-0. They have a really good offensive line as well. Another very mobile quarterback.
Yeah. So. It just shows where we're at. We still are a developing team, even if we are a team that's expecting to compete this year. Like, we have places we need to clearly improve. And I think coaching can get it all done. That's like the thing. Like, last year, I think we were talent deficient, but coaching still brought out the most of this team. And this year, with more talent, I think we're going to see this team start to gel, and I think it'll be sooner than later.
Well, I certainly hope you're right about that. You know who we can fault, Red Dog, is the Lions fans. I think the TV does a little better job these days, like,
capturing
lowering the noise a little bit more, but
no.
By all accounts, it was super loud in there, and people couldn't hardly hear themselves think. So kudos to the fans on, you know, showing up and showing out in that regard. It wasn't on them.
No.
The performance. That's what all the players are saying, too, as well. They don't want the Kool-Aid to run dry because of one loss on the home opener. There's still, it's a long season to go.
I don't think it will.
No, I don't think so either. I mean,
the excitement wasn't about
a chance next week.
The excitement around this team isn't short term. Like, unless, I mean, it can be if it fizzles out really bad, but like, I don't think that's going to happen. But the excitement around this team is because people recognize what they've built. This team is built, the organization from the bottom up to from the top down, just all new. Like, it, this organization is being built for sustainability. And so, like, one game like this hurts, it sucks, but it's just one more step on the road that we're, you know, going in the right direction still. And this was just a battle. You know, battles break different ways. They made a play and made a couple plays, but, like, you know, that happens. It's the NFL. It's the most, like, high parity sport in the world. Like, these games come down to single plays, and we almost overcame, like, multiple bad plays. So,
yeah, considering the Lions had three turn, I mean, I'll just say two turnovers. One was like a Hail Mary play at the end of the first half and a fumble.
Yeah, that was
crazy.
Great pass.
Oh, unrelated. No, did you see the Hail Mary that the Denver completed today?
No.
They had a Hail Mary at the end of the game, but then they were down eight, so they got the touchdown, went for two, didn't get it.
Oh my gosh,
that's a heartbreaker. But anyways, so the Lions really had two turnovers in this one, and it just sucked coming out of the first half and you fumble on the first play.
Killer. Just killer.
Yeah, ruined any advantage too.
But same thing with, like, first drive. You get a dumb penalty after making a stand by freaking CJGJ. Like, like Dan Campbell said, he wanted to start fast out the gate in both halves and failed to do so completely. Like,
yes, they did the opposite.
Right. So, I mean, it's battle, and things go our way, things go the other way, and in this one, we lost, and that team is a tough team. That's the thing. Like, I think some people, I think people follow the trends, like, almost, like, week to week in the NFL, and they're like, oh, the Seahawks lost last week, so, like, they're going to lose again. Like, no, that, if anything, I felt their loss last week had me more, like, considering the threat they pose, like, because that meant, like, they were gut
checked.
Right,
there's always a lot of overreactions.
Right.
Especially after week one in the NFL.
And there can be an advantage to losing, because losing humbles you. It makes you look closer. It makes you work harder. Like, it. And so, like, I'm expecting fully the Lions to do the same next, you know, this week and make up for it against Atlanta. But, like, it just, you know, it can have advantages in losing, especially if you're a decent team. And they're clearly a decent team. They got a lot of weapons on that offense.
Definitely.
Pete Carroll knows how to deploy it in a way to kind of limit. I think, like, because, I mean, I don't know what his limitations are, but, like, I think Geno is not, like, the best quarterback in the world, but he's a very good quarterback when he's, like, given the right set of circumstances, and he clearly had them today.
And 4 seconds of throwing time.
Well, right. Because he was making all the throws, sitting comfortably in the pocket. But then, I mean, when we did disrupt the pocket, he just escaped. And that's just, like, so frustrating.
Yeah, there was definitely some opportunities on blitzes we had, and we did not get him down. I can't say he, like, made a huge, like, juking move either. He just kind of stood his ground.
Yeah.
They, like, over-anticipated, like a counter move by him or something in the pocket. There was one on a double corner blitz that we had, and C.J. Gardner-Johnson missed him.
Was that the one where he just stood in there and delivered the ball straight down the middle of the field? Like,
yeah, I believe we're talking about the same
barely
thing.
It looked like it was going to be like a sack, and it turned into a big play. That was like the story of the game, it felt like. Oh, we're about to get him, and then
we can't blitz both corners and not get him.
Right.
That's going to result in bad news.
Yeah, no kidding.
On the back end.
But yeah, I mean, what are you doing when, you know, your front four ain't getting any pressure?
Right. Some other good, though. I really enjoyed the Ben Johnson play calling in this game. I thought it was pretty good. The rush game still leaves a little bit of desire, but I thought he really perfectly timed. The rush game was starting to get going a little bit more with Montgomery, and they perfectly timed out the flea flicker to Cleef Raymond. So I thought that was really
well-timed
play call from Ben Johnson, and great throw and catch from Goff to Raymond.
Yeah, the route by Raymond was really nice to fake it. Like it was a run play.
Yeah. He continues to be a really solid complimentary wide receiver.
Yeah, the guys no one talks about when they think the Detroit Lions are the guys like carrying this team. Well, except for Amon-Ra. He's the one who's really stepping up.
Yep.
But like Josh Reynolds and Khalif Raymond are both playing excellent football for this team.
Josh Reynolds, again, just a great performance out of him. Just super reliable guy when you need a play to be made. 66 yards, 2 touchdowns. 5 catches on 6 targets, and he just he continues to look great.
I mean, he's,
whenever we have a big play, I expect the ball to go to him now almost more than Amon-Ra in some ways.
I don't know why people sleep on him so much because like he has done that pretty much since he's arrived on this team, right? Other than when he was injured last year. Maybe that's why the injury part of the season, and then everyone was focused on Chark and kind of forgot about Reynolds. But when Reynolds is our number one like outside receiver, he tends to be effective, and he also is effective enough to open up like Amon-Ra and stuff. Like he can be that number one. He's 6'3", like 220 pounds, something like that. He's not the fastest, but he's fast enough. Like the dude's a rock solid number one wide receiver, like an elite two.
Definitely. And you know who isn't a number one or number two or number three? Marvin Jones. He continues to just
That's probably
when James
why
Williams comes back. He might not be on the active.
Yeah, it's a possibility because I think the Lions know it too because you had Antoine Green getting a catch today for the first time for 2 yards, but still, like the fact that he's out there, I think suggests that maybe. I mean, I like having him on the team and all that, but like if he's holding up the spot for someone who could be more effective, we might need to, you know, consider a replacement there.
He just doesn't. I mean, this is the kind of wide receiver he is. He doesn't get separation. He's a 50-50 ball guy.
True.
Who's got good possession, gets good body position. I just don't know if that quite fits in our offense. Our offense demands more wide receivers that are like great route runners that create a little bit of separation. And
I don't know if that's totally.
I don't know.
True.
It just doesn't seem to be working at least the first 2 weeks of the season.
No, they haven't. I don't. Him and Goff haven't gotten in really in sync. And like, I don't know. We've played a couple physical secondaries too, where like with some bigger, faster guys who can play aggressive, you know, tight coverage type thing. Granted, you'll see that a lot in the NFL, but like, I think he'll have some opportunity depending on different teams we face. But I mean. Mm-hmm. Honestly, I'm just as fine. I was happy he was the one who fumbled last week and not like Reynolds or someone else because he's the old guy. He's not
first fumble
future.
Of his career.
I know. How impressive is that?
Long career too.
Yeah, no what kidding. That's why, like, I love the guy and I love having him around. But you know, this team needs to. Granted, I don't feel a desperate need to replace him. It's not like our offense isn't finding success. You know, with the guys,
right?
That do
yeah,
have.
I mean, their Dolphins definitely stepped up a lot more this week compared to the week one, which is what you want to see. You want to see that improvement. It always takes the offense a little more. It always takes the offense longer to get to because you know, week one of the NFL this year was the lowest amount of touchdowns scored in 20 years in week one of the NFL.
I actually like that. So time for the defense to make a resurgence. But, you know, that's like the thing. Yeah. In all this game, does it not feel like we should have probably won that game if it wasn't for, like, things?
Of course we should have.
Like
turnovers. That was the big key. They got 14 points off turnovers. We went to overtime.
Right. That's what I mean. Like, we still.
With those type of numbers, we should be losing by double digits.
It still felt like a game where we were the better team lining. And they just made the plays today. Like, it. And that's why, like, I'm not sitting here moping or anything. People are like saying this is depressing. I'm like, I'm not even depressed. It's a bummer. It sucks. But like, this team is about so much more than just this game. For once, it feels like, you know, you can trust that the season's going to at least play out in a, well, then again, oh God, I'm saying that now. We've seen reality bend in a completely different direction. You know, after all, the most surprising thing this weekend was that how far off my prediction was.
What a 73 to nothing,
75, but yeah, not as close as I thought.
So David Montgomery has had how many carries did he have today? 16, right? 16.
He was running well too.
He had 16 carries. Yeah, especially as the game went on, he was getting better. That's why it sucked to see him leave, because he was a hot.
Yeah, Gibbs never got a groove going at all, unfortunately.
But anyways, so 16. So he has had 952 carries in his career, including today, and that was his fifth fumble of his career. So five out of 1,000, roughly.
That's, I mean, like, it's pretty good.
5%.
It took pretty extreme.
It's a half a percent.
Pretty extreme circumstances to cause it. You know, a player blowing up a player like that in the backfield, a big D lineman. So I'm not forgiving it. It's still a fumble, but I mean, as fumbles go, you know, it wasn't like he wasn't protecting the ball. That it was just a good play by the defense.
Right. I just really hope we see him back out there. Because he's important to this offense for sure.
Yeah, because like that's the thing. As good as I think Gibbs can be, I don't think he has the vision yet for the NFL that Montgomery has. He's not seeing everything just yet. There's times where he rushes it where he should be slow playing. At times where he slow plays it where he should be rushing it. And you know, that's fine. He's a rookie. He's got to develop.
Definitely. But he does look really good as a receiver, and I think we're going to see. I mean, it's some catches today.
We need to get him in space where there's not someone like immediately trying to tackle him all the time. Like, he needs a little bit of room to maneuver.
Right.
And like, we just haven't found the way to do that yet.
I really thought he was going to have a touchdown today, and I think everybody on our podcast did too. A lot of us predicted that he'd score.
I thought
today
he was going to go off today.
Yeah.
But. Yeah, like we just aren't opening those holes yet.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
No, we are not. No, we're not. But it's coming. I did really like the fourth down play call in the red zone.
Well, the one
it was a fake. I believe it was the Gibbs. Gibbs was like the decoy guy. And but Amon-Ra on the counter trap.
Yeah, that was sick.
Fake motion. It was a really good play call on fourth down. I'm surprised he didn't score on it, actually.
I know. I thought he was about to
save a touchdown, but really crafty play calling right there from Ben Johnson and team on a key down. Did you think it was a pass interference on that other fourth down attempt? Devin Witherspoon on Josh Reynolds? That was the one Josh Reynolds didn't catch. Josh Reynolds was crossing from right to left.
Oh, is that the one where he fell? Right. That, like, the only thing I could kind of see was that he hooked his thigh a little bit that caused his foot to fall short and stumble, which was, like, it wasn't easy to see. So, like, I could see the no call. Like, it wasn't, like, he didn't get tangled with him all that much, but he did just hook his thigh enough as he was falling. Right. So, I mean, technically, I think it was pass interference, but it's not one where I'm like, how did they not call that? Because it looked pretty, you know, pretty ticky-tack, and but, like, it was. He tripped him.
Yeah. That was a killer. But yeah, I agree with you. It wasn't, we've seen a lot worse called. And that holding call that we mentioned about on Hutch, that should not go in the Hall of Fame of missed refereeing calls. Like, you know, the Aquara in Green Bay.
No.
The Brandon Pettigrew pass interference, batting the ball out of bounds on Monday Night Football against Seattle in Seattle, et cetera. Yeah. No, that does not belong there.
No, the officials didn't lose us this game.
No, I would agree.
That is for sure. But I will say, I really enjoyed Greg Olsen's commentary. He was, like, just calling things out, like, as soon as they were happening. He, like, his ability to process, like, strategies and like, notice, like, when they got that legal formation, mm-hmm. like, he knew it, like, right away, obviously as an NFL tight end. But, like, he also noticed right away when Dan Campbell... when we went for it on fourth down, by when we ran it on third down, he's like, oh, there's only one reason they'd run it right there, because he knows he has two plays to get the fourth down or get the conversion. Yeah, Greg,
like, a lot of people like Greg Olsen.
His analysis is excellent. He knows the game so really well, and he can read things without... I mean, a lot of those... he's not the only one. There's other good ones out there who can do similar things, but I just really enjoyed it.
I would agree. No, I think they do a really good job, and it's very unbiased as well. Sometimes you get, like, you know, a lot of people hate on Chris Collinsworth.
Yeah.
His bias is a certain cornerbacks, I guess.
He's all right.
I actually have one of the few that don't mind.
He's, like, seduced you over the years.
I think Chris Collinsworth calls out some good.
Did he say nice things about your eyes or something? Because you used to, like, not like him. Now, like, you're kind of like one of backers.
When you watch some of these other games, some of the analysis is horrible, and I think he offers some.
I honestly don't hate Collinsworth either. Like, during the game, he's enjoyable enough. He used to bother me more too. I don't know, something about him has just grown on me over the years.
You know what is a little,
he loves the game,
painful.
What's that?
What is the draft that Micah Parsons went in? I didn't get the chance to look this up before we hopped on.
When we picked Penn A.
Like, who did we draft in that draft? Who did we
Sewell.
Draft? No.
Yeah, that's the only reason we're okay with it. That's the only reason. Like, if we didn't take
it's just
Sewell,
such a pain when you watch the Cowboys game and see him just dominate week after week.
I know. Like, did he ever have painful. A game like Hutch has had today? Like, I just don't Like, that's the thing. I hear that, too. Like, people talk about Bosa and Hutch, or Bosa and Parsons. Like, those guys don't get quiet like this, do they? Like, those guys always seem to have a way to show up. I really thought Hutch was going to step up towards the end there, especially after he got,
see, those guys have a little more freak athleticism.
A little more.
And power than Hutch offers. Hutch it more is, like, technique-driven in his success, and sometimes if that technique's not working...
A bit more,
like, you will routinely see him run counter move after counter move, spin move after spin move.
I know.
I don't really see... The only reason he gets home on a bull rush is if the defense backs do their job right away, and he has enough time to, like... Because he's got, you know, this hyper engine where he doesn't quit, and we'll never blame him for not, like, giving 100% every game.
He's not without his own level
but
of freakishness.
That's just a slight difference between those two guys. That was what they said coming out of the draft. I think that's why a guy like Trayvon Walker went right before him.
Oh, absolutely.
Just a little more ceiling, but
also
much at the way higher floor.
Yeah, right. And because Hutch is not, he's a freak in his own right, but he's not on that level of speed and twitch. But
Hutch had a great play in this game, recognizing the screen on that one, because that would have gone for big yards
that
if
was
he just
nice.
Didn't. And he's really good at recognizing those type plays so far in his career. Just that instinctive type feeling for the screen game, the short passes when he's called to do it.
I have a feeling he's gonna rebound after this game too, because
it's a long
season. I bet he's pissed.
We're not,
I bet he's pissed about how he played. Like, not even that he like effort. Maybe he is questioning his effort. I don't know. You know what's in his head. I'm sure he put it all out there. But like,
I want to make it clear to our listeners and then our other blue Kool-Aid drinkers. I want to hear, oh, you hate on Hutch. You think Hutch is bad? Blah blah blah. No, we think Hutch is a great player. We wish we saw more out of him today because we needed it because no one else is coming home.
It was disappointing performance. I'd say. Like,
if you think that was a good Hutch performance, then you are not demanding much out of him. I guess I would assume he's demanding more out of himself as well.
Some of me thinks like we get a little too caught up in the control rush. Maybe there's other ways to counter a mobile quarterback than always having to do bracketing rush, where like you have to rush perfectly, because that takes so much juice off your pass rush when you do it that way. Like, if you always have a perfectly disciplined rush, that means you're not full throttle the same way. You're not just off the chain. You're not just trying to get to the quarterback. And I get that can kill you, but why not just switch to a spy concept from time to time to free up your pass rush, you know? Like, I don't, maybe they did and I just didn't notice it, because I know they did spy him really nicely on that one third down or fourth down, was it, where like they had guys ready.
Antonio sack?
No, they spied Geno White out of the backfield on like a third and short, and he didn't get it because he like stepped up and tried to run, but they're like, I think Barnes was right there. Like, they spied it. They clearly had spies on him. I don't know if you might
try to remember the play.
It was going, I don't know, like there's no way to orient in which direction it was going, but yeah, it was going down the field. They were like, probably it was like third and two, or and they stopped him because he had no room to go. I think he still like managed to not get sacked or threw the ball away or something, but it was nice to see a spy for once. But like, let's use that concept to free up your pass rush a little bit. Maybe they did. I don't know. And if they did, then I don't know what the answer is. These guys just need to play better, because it is frustrating to watch Hutch just hitting all these moves and just kind of like not going anywhere.
Right. Yeah, I just want to see this defense dominate a game, though. Like, we see, but I mean, it just feels like we're miles away from the likes of, like a San Francisco, like a Cowboys, even like the Cleveland Browns that we saw last week against the Bengals.
You know, I think today actually highlighted something, though, that O-line, the way it played for the Seahawks, like, because everyone keeps trying to asterisk our freaking win against the Chiefs. It's like, Why are you so sure if Kelsey and those guys played that it would have just turned out completely? It could have turned out completely different. Like, you don't know.
Yeah, we don't know.
Like, look at how these guys played. Sometimes, like, when you're the backup and you step up, like, you get unexpected performances from those guys because, one, they're getting their shot at, you know, really showing something. And like, and then they're also going to hear all week how they're the weakness and the reason their team's going to lose. Like, You get surprising performances, and I'd say they put on a really good performance. So, I mean, you got to give credit to them. Like, Hutch wasn't just stopped because he wasn't trying hard. Those guys played really well. And it's like, gosh, you expect more from Hutch, but at the same time, those guys played well. They're pros, too. They get paid to do the job, and today they played better. Overall, because we still got them off the field a good amount of times, you know, like, it wasn't like last year where there was no punting. Like, it wasn't that bad. Like, the defense did actually, and like, think about it this way too, how much of the game do those turnovers influence the defense? Like, the first touchdown or the second touchdown was because of the fumble. Like, that was killer, giving them a super short field like that.
Oh yeah.
And then like same thing on the other turnover, a pick six. Like, the defense didn't just
2 years in a row.
The defense wasn't the only reason to cost us this game. It was a team effort, and both sides did good things and bad things. But like, if I had to pick a unit that just looked like they struggled the most, it was that front seven and getting pressure.
Right. No, I would agree. It just 2 years in a row, high scoring affair, and a pick six that cost us the game, probably.
Well,
against the Seahawks in week two,
I think the fumble was the play. I think that was the more pivotal play, personally. The fumble changed everything. Like, we were getting ready to, like, basically run away with that game for a second, and then we get the fumble, and that just changed
everything. Then we turn around and we score right after.
It was a good answer.
Good response.
It was a good response, but
it should have been 21-7 instead of...
Yeah. And, no, that was...
21-14.
To me, the offense's two turnovers were definitely the main problem. That was the main difference. It was a one-score game, and we had two turnovers that were converted for points. Though I will say we forgot about the unspoken hero of the game.
The air conditioner, yes.
It did its job today.
Two missed field goals. I get. I love it. For some reason, kickers struggle a little bit when they come into Ford Field.
I know, it's weird.
Unless you're Justin Tucker and hit
an
NFL
that was ridiculous
record field goal.
God, to win the game.
But yeah, that was wild to see the two misses. Especially the first one was like horrible.
Yeah.
I think Cam Sutton continues to look really good though. There's a positive on
it. He looks all right. Like and that was actually the thing. Like, we didn't get torched. We never got just beat outright. Like, we made them work every drive to score. Like, there was never a breakout long touchdown. Like, there were big plays, but there was never, like, you know, that kind of level of big play for just a touchdown. Like, most times, there was always someone there to tackle him, though we did miss tackles. That was frustrating. There's more missed tackles.
Especially on the tight ends.
God, that was tight end. Yeah, what the heck? Like, these no-name tight ends were killing us. Though,
yeah, big boys.
So did Noah Font on that one.
Right. Yeah.
He made probably the biggest play of the game, actually. That was a long play for them.
Parkinson, right? It's a tight end, too.
And Tisdall or something? Tisley?
Yeah, so they're tight ends.
Tilly?
97, 120, 132 yards receiving other tight ends.
Yeah, their tight ends were good. I mean, but
not good.
That was like the way they were scheming, though. It kind of reminded me of our scheme a lot, like the crossing patterns of tight ends and stuff to distract and drag and all that. Like, and it was working really effectively. We had no good answer. And again, the pass rush
Like I mentioned, I mean, they did a pretty good job kind of moving the pocket around a little bit. It wasn't just straight drop back and throw. There was a lot of play action, a lot of bootlegs.
Yeah.
So, and we play the Falcons next week. You bet they're going to do a lot of that, because I was watching the Packers Falcons game kind of on the next screen, and they have a very mobile quarterback. They do a lot of motioning.
Ritter.
Ritter, yes. But they do a lot of bootlegs to get him kind of out of the pocket, move him, get him on the run, because he is mobile and because they have. Good right. It's going to be a tough match.
Every game is a freaking.
I haven't seen the line yet, but
days.
I would imagine the Lions are going to be underdogs next week. If not, it's a pick 'em.
Are the Lions like the last team with a pocket passer? Is Jared Goff the last great pocket passer in the NFL?
No, you got Stafford on the Rams.
Oh, yeah, Stafford. There's not many of them, though.
I mean, there's a few. Two on Miami is a pocket passer.
Yeah, but he's mobile enough.
Mobile.
Well, now that he's.
I don't think
been
he
injured,
wants to be mobile anymore.
Know. But
wow, the Lions are 4.5-point favorites next week. That's shocking. That's at least on ESPN here on the line.
We're underdogs or favored?
No, we're favored by 4.5. It was the line today.
I hear that too, like this offhand, like, the Falcons are 2-0, but we know they're not a good team. It's like, do we?
The Falcons are a very good team.
They have some absolute weapons on offense, and like,
and now
Kyle
you get the two
Pitts
top running backs drafted, and Gibbs and Bijan going. I mean, Bijan Robinson looked great. He had 120 yards, I think.
He's definitely looked overall probably better than Gibbs, I'd say, just in sense that like he is so clearly such an intuitive runner. Like,
yeah, he has great vision,
great vision. Like, Gibbs clearly has that explosion, but he's not finding the holes the same way. But again, I feel like that's our run blocking to some extent. Like, we're not getting the holes that some of these teams are creating. I don't know. Like,
right.
I don't know what it is.
That's
but,
what I'm saying. That's what I'm going to say. Right.
Yeah, I'm agreeing with you. Like, they're just not, it's not happening yet. And I don't know why. We're supposed to have this great O-line. Like,
I know. I want to go back and watch. Hopefully, I have the time this week but to go back and watch the All 22 film from the end zone view to see what's going on with the run game blocking. Because even when like Montgomery got like some of the 6 yard runs,
he had to wiggle a lot.
He's wiggling, and then he's carrying the pile a little bit forward.
Right,
which is what they I think got him. One of the reasons they got him for is because he can do that
right
really effectively, but. It'd be nice if he, you know, just had a little easier time getting through.
I know. That's why, like, I thought he was going to have such a big year because he was going to have so many holes. But so far, the holes have just not been – I mean, we're getting holes, but we're not getting big holes, and we're not getting them consistently enough.
I would agree. I think – but at least the pass blocking, I think, has been excellent, largely, with a few exceptions.
With, like, yeah, it seems like both games, there's, like, a letdown for a handful of plays, like – they had 2 sacks on Goff today, though sometimes Goff I feel like gets a little too comfortable and doesn't expect the sack, so he doesn't
I would
do
agree
the
with
right
that. There's
things.
One he should have got rid of,
and so I think
after like 2.5-3 seconds it's time to just get rid
he's
of
like a victim of his own benefits. So like I'm not too hard on him for that because like he's used his clock is probably a bit longer than in most quarterbacks. But at the same time, he's got to get rid of that ball a couple times.
Right.
No,
I agree.
I'm sure he'll get better at. Like, that's the thing. I think they're all going to get better. Everything's going to get better. The communication's going to get better. Guys are going to start understanding their roles better. They're getting more battle hardened, more experienced. They're gonna know what people are going to do to stop them now. Like, that's the thing. Like, it seemed like both defenses the last couple of weeks have like we've had success, but they've had good game plans to get pressure on Jared Goff enough where it was like he was often throwing under duress, even, you know, more than you would expect with our O-line. And and same with our run defense. Like they had good plans to stuff our box and not leave much room for the run. So we hit them through the air, but we need that run game to get going.
So, Rud Dog, we're getting towards the end of the pod here. I just wanted you to take the last part of the pod here. You go in and I'll go, but I'm going to call this a segment anytime, especially the night we record these after the game, where it's, you know, still fresh in our blood and our minds. But I want just really quick, we're going to call this like 2-minute therapy session. I just tell our listeners, our other fellow Blue Kool-Aid drinkers, why it's going to be okay. I'm just going to throw out one thing first.
Oh, okay.
We have 15 games left.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's a great starting point. Like, I mean, I've been kind of laying my thoughts out on that this entire podcast. Like, we got 15 games left. This team is not about what this is as much as the now matters. This team is building for a bright future, and there's going to be growing pains. The talent is still obvious. Like, they're going to grow from this. They're going to go back. They're going to lick their wounds. They're going to figure out where they went wrong, and they're going to build on it. And I have no doubt in my mind that this Lions team and Dan Campbell's going to have them roaring and itching to just get back to that winning feeling. Because you could tell, man, these guys were just like, oh, they expected to win that game. Even, you know,
right.
They expected it and it hurt, and they want that winning feeling back, and they're going to do what it takes. And, you know, sometimes losing is the best teacher. So that's what I got.
Yeah, no, I would completely agree. There's so much more time. A lot of people thought it'd be a win if we got like through this first 4 games, like 2-2 even. Because the schedule starts to get easier in the middle of the season when you got like the Bucks and Panthers, who, you know, Bucks are 2-0, but I don't think anybody's calling them an elite team. But anyways, the first month of the NFL season, especially, is just like nobody plays in the preseason. It's a lot of practice reps, so you're just trying to figure out who your team is, who is going to be in, you know, who works in the right roles at the right time. You're really getting your rhythm down. So if you can escape with a win like they did in week 1, it is a huge plus. You're going to have games like this against Seattle. But as long as it's not like last year, which we don't think it is, where the defense was historically bad.
Right.
As long as it's not like, you know, and it's not that.
No,
this is a better team. And again, they had 3 turnovers today and they almost won the game. They shouldn't have. They shouldn't have been that close.
Right.
Again. So this team is battling still. And a lot of that had to do with the crowd staying in it the whole game. And don't lose that because they're going to need it every home game this year. And there's still ton of time left. So
yeah.
And I think a lot of Lions fans, I think they're all smart this year. They know that.
I'll tell you.
But, you know, sometimes you just need it repeated a few times.
One good example is really,
especially on a Monday morning when this is released.
Yes.
So enjoy your work week, everybody. There's brighter days ahead.
Oh yeah. One good example of what you just said about roles and stuff. Laporta, I fully expect his role in the passing game to expand going forward.
Oh yeah.
That man showed he needs targets. He looks so good.
Definitely, even when he's covered.
He looks like a wide receiver. Like, I mean, I just think that dude is so, he's going to be one of the best to ever play the game. Like, he's going to be in this conversation with Kelsey and Kittle because the way he plays the game is just so damn fucking explosive. Like, how many tight ends are out there making pancakes all the time? Like, he makes them multiple a game. Like, that's so fantastic. So. Yeah, you put that, and then the wiggle, all that. Oh, my goodness. He's probably my brightest spot of that game, I'd say.
For sure. Well, that was our first attempt at Lions therapy session. So we hope you enjoyed that segment, and we hope that's the last time we have to do it the entire season.
Yes.
But anyways.
16-1, here we come.
Well, you had 17-0, right? Or do you have 16-1? Your prediction.
I had one question mark. This is on me, guys. Sorry. I should have committed to 17-0. I left a variable question mark for one game to lose potentially, and I guess I let everyone
there you
down.
Go. If you're gonna blame someone, blame Rudd Dog.
Yeah, it's my bad, guys. My bad.
Don't point the aim at the players who played in the
game. It's not David Montgomery's fault he fumbled that ball. It's my fault for predicting and leaving room for a loss.
But all right, we're going to wrap this up. Instagram at Drinking a Blue Kool-Aid. Twitter at Drinking, or Twitter/X at Drinking Lions. Let us know your thoughts on this game. Give us your Lions therapy session thoughts if you want. If you're still drinking a Blue Kool-Aid, which I believe all of you are still. Thank you to Sideline Report. SidelineReport.com for supporting the podcast. And then thank you to our producer,
Kid J.
All right. Hopefully we have our wrestler Blue Kool-Aid crew on post game going forward, so we have more people to do that.
Yeah. I'm sure it'll happen.
But yeah. Otherwise, we want to thank our listeners for, you know, listening through this, and we hope, you know, we gave you all the, you know, everything you wanted to hear basically on your Monday, you know, heading into this week, because yes, there was a lot of not good, but there's a lot more ahead, a lot brighter days ahead, we still believe. So
oh yeah,
a loss, it sucks, but as Dan Campbell said, they got fed a nice humble pie today, so they're humble a little bit. Maybe they're riding a little bit too high after the Chiefs win. They had 10 days of maybe bliss, and now it's grounded them a little bit, and they're going to get back to work. So this is a Dan Campbell-led team. We believe they're going to get right back to work.
Right.
So no doubts there. But otherwise, thank you, everybody, for listening. We greatly appreciate it. We'll be back later this week previewing week 3, where the Lions are hosting the Atlanta Falcons, the 2-0 Atlanta Falcons. So it'll be a very important game. And we look forward to that conversation. But thank you, everybody, for listening. And last but not least, as always, go!
Go
Lions! Forward down the field, a charging team that will not yield. And when the blue and silver wave, stand and cheer the brave. Rock, rock, rock! Go! win the game. With honor, you will keep your fame. Down the field and gain a Lions victory.
Go! Go.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.